Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottama. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Toto Jayamadiraya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today we'll summarize the 10th chapter, the 7th canto. Yesterday we heard about the 9th chapter. Who here has memorized the 9th chapter, anybody? All hands? Yeah. Anyway, the 9th chapter is like a very high point. He mentioned that Prabhupada had given lectures on a lot of the, if not all, but many of those verses from 7-9, Prahlad's prayers, and then very wonderful. One of the high points, he mentioned the high points, but, you know, Prahlad Maharaj has all famous verses that are quoted, and you could say, I mean, there was a summary Prahlad teachings that was put out way back in the day at the BBT Press, it might have been even 1970, nobody here was around that long. Without, was it 70 came out?
ISKCON Press,
before the BBT existed, right? So it was Boston. So Prabhupada saw this as a very important pastime. Came out maybe even before 70, about 70. Summary of Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes. So we can understand it's important. And so in the 10th chapter, which is called Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. So there's certain high points, I scribbled them down, but I can't read my own scribbling. Basically, he already offered these amazing prayers, which is, Naivod Vijay Poladuratyaya Vait Yan Mai Tunari Grihamedi Tucham, like that, all these fantastic. So, Jay Tato, Prahlad Maharaj has shown, first of all, he's 5 years old. Now, nowadays on YouTube, we see all these like smart kids doing different things, playing piano at 2 years old. You know, but it's pretty inconceivable when you read those prayers or hear them chanted, how five-year-old boy. But in the beginning of the prayers, describe Oshtashid Halime Kagra, that he Premagadgadayavacha Hridayakshana, with one-pointed attention, he recited all these amazing prayers. And even, well, in the very first prayer, he said how even Brahma has not satisfied you, or Lord Shiva, any of these great devas, they have not satisfied. But how could I satisfy you? So that was mentioned. But he did. Therefore, Nrsimhadeva was pacified. And so in this chapter, it's described how great he is. And then when I was looking through Bhagavatam, I saw is another section, especially in the third canto, describing Ditti. Ditti was the mother of these asuras. So she was very upset when she heard that she would be, you know, this is all a backstory where Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Narad Muni about how the Lord could be equal to everybody. So then he told the entire history of Prahlad Maharaj and described the demons and how they were cursed. But the cursing goes back to the third canon also, with the four Kumaras, and we hear some of that. So in that section, I think, chapter 15 maybe, there it is, 14, 15, one of those chapters, describe that, don't worry, Ditti, even though your sons are going to be these huge demons, but your grandson is going to be so great that you know, don't feel bad, basically. You know, being pacified by, I think, Lord Brahma. So this is all playing out, Prahlad Maharaj, so many chapters all the way up here to this 10th chapter. So here, Narasimhadev is offering him benedictions, right? Because he's so great. But he's denying, he doesn't want, the only benediction he says, basically, if I want a mundane or any benediction, he considers himself a vanit, just like a merchant. I've done something. And so we're being taught this throughout. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Prabhupada bringing in all these prayers. Na dhanam na janam na sundaram. We don't want anything material. Even whatever is offered, we don't. The pure devotee doesn't want, doesn't ask for anything. But he said, if you want to give something, he said, I understand, Prahlad Maharaj told Narasimhadev that I understand because my father was killed by you. You touched him, he's automatically liberated. But still, I want to pray that he's liberated like that. As for myself, kamanam hijasang roham, venatashte vano varam. You're the best of all givers of benedictions, but if I have any sinful or any lusty idea, any type of material desire, kamanam hijasang, sangroham means that it shouldn't grow in my heart. Get rid of it. So this is really a pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj, he even appears, mentioned here in this chapter, mentioned or stressed, just to show the example of a pure devotee, a great pure devotee. And the gopis are, you know, we can read some of the shastras and the gopis, different levels of pure devotees. But Prahlad Maharaj is showing this example. And Prahlad Maharaj Prabhupada says he's compared to Narad Muni. Narad Muni is his guru, but he's compared in that he's a eternally liberated person, but he's combined and showing the example that in this material world he gives up his demoniac nature. So it's inconceivable, it's also said, to understand how is he nitya siddha at the same time, but he can do, he appears in the material world to give up, showing the example of someone who's so amazing and so great. And his teachings are Naishamatish Tabarukamangreen Spishatyanarta Pagamo Yadarta Mahiyasampa Vajovijekam. What is it? Nishkintyananam Nanavriti Yava. When he was talking to Hrinyakashipu previously, he was telling him so many things. You'll never understand Krishna because you have taken a vow to stay in this material world. And just his father was the opposite, basically. He wanted to control everything, own everything. It was his program. And Prahlad Maharaj is just the opposite. So he says, unless you get the dust, you bathe in the dust of a pure devotee. Of course, he was getting that association with Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada actually spoke those teachings to John Lennon and Yoko Ono when they were sort of challenging Prabhupada about, actually they were saying, isn't it boring to chant Hare Krishna? I mean, you guys just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no, we don't just chant Hare Krishna. And he quoted so many things, and those are some of the things he quoted, some of these teachings. Naishamatis taru krama, unless you get, so Prabhupada was preaching always, and he was preaching to them very nicely, and singing very wonderfully, actually. Those prayers are recorded, how Prabhupada is chanting them. Anate vadu svata gatimi vishnu. What is it? Durasya ye bahiratma. Huh? Bahiratmani. So, and Prabhupada had this amazing way of chanting slokas. Oh, and, you know, it's just Prabhupada also showing the example of someone who we can't even conceive of, came, you know, like, he said he never did any sinful activities, so. But his potency of him chanting those verses, and you can hear Prahlad Maharaj comes through, just like a Prabhupada chants Bhaktivinoda Thakur or any bhajan. feel the potency there. You can feel the ecstasy, the separation, the love. You can chant the same song in different moods. You know, Hari Nama Krishna Yadava. You know, sometimes it's very joyous, and there's one rendition, because actually that's what the verses are about today also, but we'll get to that right now. What do we got on the board? Okay. There's four of them. Ready. Moho grananto vachasa anuraga. Skala padena shakitani tagya. Krita sahasra mani praveka. Padyodito dhamma hana sahasram. If anybody wants to chant, there's three more left to do, so I'll just go. If anybody wants to chant this one. Moho grananto vachasanuraga. Padenasya kitani tajya. Ita sahasra mani praveka. Yoki do dhamma pana sahasra. Kritani tajya.
Krita sahasra mani pravekika.
Krita sahasra mani pravekika.
Prajatita dhamma pana sahasra.
Dodita dhamma pana sahasra.
Gurgrinanto
vachasanuraga. Shakitani tajya. Muhu. Again and again. Grananta. Glorifying. Vachasa. By words.
By words.
Anuraga.
With
great affection.
Skala
padena.
With symmetrical rhythm.
Asya.
Of the Lord.
Kritani.
Activities.
Tajya.
Those who know the pastimes.
Karita.
Helmets.
Sahasra.
Thousands.
Mani praveka.
Glowing effulgence of the valuable stones.
Pradyotita.
Emanating from.
Uddama.
Raised.
Hana.
Hoods.
Sahasran.
Thousands.
Translation. The four Kumaras headed by Sanat Kumar, who all knew the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, glorified the Lord in rhythmic accents with selected words full of affection and love. At that time, Lord Sankarshan, with his thousands of raised hoods, began to radiate an effulgence from the glowing stones on his head. Now, this is like it would probably take a lot of lifetimes to get used to the story. Story within a story, and we just heard just within these last few verses about Sankarshan and Sankhyayana. So, the main thrust of this is that devotees are totally dependent on the parampara, no matter who they are, whether it's Narad Muni, Vyasadeva, Sankar, whatever, they're hearing from superior person.
Sankhya Muni. So here the four Kumaras are being described. So purport, the Lord is sometimes addressed as Uttama Shloka, which means Uttama Shloka Gunana Vada. There's many verses about Uttama Shloka. One particular verse that Narad Muni speaks to Vyasadeva, which I didn't look up recently, but how does it start? I probably used to apply this sloka to practically anything, to for dovetailing. Whatever you do, if it is applied to Uttama Shloka, then, remember that sloka? I should have looked up. So he's saying that whatever you do, if you're a scientist, any art, huh? Give me one line. Idam hipamsashu tapasashu tashiva sistashya shaktashya chabuddhi daptayo avachutavart kabibir nirupitam ka uttama shloka gananabhada. So don't learn too many shlokas, you get confused, you know. But idam hipamsashu tapasashu, describing any type of tapasya that you do or any learning, sistashya shaktashya Buddhi, cultivation of knowledge or charity, avachuto artha. Its goal, artha, the value of it is in relation with Krishna, that's all. Uttama shloka. So it, Krishna has many names, nam, nam, akari, bahoga, nijas. So one of them is uttama shloka. It means he's that person who's praised with great uttama slokas, that's all. And we worship those who compose those shlokas also. We read the shlokas, nana shloka, many shlokas in the Bhagavatam, 18,000 of them, and other great acharyas like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Jiva Goswami has composed so many shlokas, it's said 400,000. Vishwanath Chakravarti, all these great acharyas, they compose shlokas, they become very familiar, like it says here, Taj Gya, those who know the pastimes. My friend Kusha Prati. Recently we're seeing that a friend who just came here, Hari Parshad, he's composing amazing shlokas. Kind of just amazing shlokas. He was giving us a crash course on Amu Prash, just one of the types of alankars. That means metaphor, different types of ornaments that ornament the Sanskrit shlokas. So it takes many years to learn it, what to speak of composed shlokas, but he's doing those. Many advanced, few advanced devotees are composing shlokas. You know, most of us will never get to the point of composing Sanskrit shlokas, but at least we can relish, as it says here, kritagya. Kritani Taj Gya. So these four Kumaras, as it says, Jaya Jaya Madhava Daike, in that song at the last line says what? Sanaka Sanatana Varnite Charite. They glorify the pastimes of Radha Krishna and all the. So even the little boys, we're hearing about Prahlada Maharaja, these guys decided to stay young. So they went to Vaikuntha. Somehow or other, what is that verse? They were very, they smelt the tulasi, makaranda vahayu. How does that verse start? Tasyaravinda nayanasya padada vinda, kinjalka misha tulasi, makaranda vahayu. They were smelling the tulsi. This is one of the verses showing how these four Kumaras, they were not Mayavadis, they didn't. Brahma, Satya, Jagannath, everything is all one. No. They were self-realized persons, just like Sukadev. Svasukha nibrita chatasthadrasthanya bhav. He was described there, parinishtitopi nairagunya. He was beyond the modes of nature, like these four Kumaras. But still they're attracted, because Atmarama, like the Atmarama verse shows, and Mahaprabhu proves to Prakashananda that Prakashananda was theoretically self-realized. He had some Brahman realization. But Mahaprabhu was so powerful, of course. He converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Similarly, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he saw Mahaprabhu had fainted in the temple of Jagannath in front of the deity. And the guards there, they're not very learned, but they were just going to beat him. Just imagine beating Lord Chaitanya. That doesn't sound like a good thing for you to do. But fortunately, Sarvabhauma said, no, what are you doing? Just bring him to my house. So, and he had fainted. So Sarvabhauma, being very learned, he said, this is not possible, but maybe it's possible. He's showing the Sudipta. He knew about this. It says that. He knew about this highest level. What to speak of, here's the word is Anuraga. It goes up, Raga, Anuraga, all the way up to this high levels of Adiruddha Bhav. And Mahaprabhu was showing that by seeing Jagannath. Jai, couldn't speak, he fainted. So Sarvabhauma, being very learned, he said, how is it possible that a human could exhibit that? Because he tried to put a cotton swab, and he said, oh, he's breathing, he's not faking it. This is too amazing. Man. Then Mahaprabhu, he decided that he would instruct Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 7 days. Well, that didn't work out, you know, as far as, it worked out, but not that he was the guru, because he thought he was such a big shot. So these are the persons who know the pastimes, they know the shastras. So these four kumaras are described here. Uttama Shloka. So this Uttama Shloka, this whole Bhagavatam, is all shlokas meant to glorify Krishna. At one point near the end of the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva says to Prakrit Maharaj that, you know, I've actually described many things that look like almost mundane. But sometimes we think, what about these kings, you know? This is kind of weird. Don't we want to just be in the highest levels? He said, but that's all just to attract people, because people are attracted to hear about kings and great kingdoms. But nevertheless, they've all come and gone. My dear Prakrit Maharaj, we should say that the essence is the Vairagya. This is the essence. Vairagya Sharam is described there by Madhura also. Vairagya Sharam, to the essence of hearing about Krishna, means we develop Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Janayapyasu Vairagya. Without separate effort, just by being attracted, relishing these slokas, the Uttama slokas. A profusion of such selected words comes from a devotee who is Vachasa. I think that word was there before Prahlad started his prayers. Prema Gadgataya Vacha Hridayekshana. So, Vachasa. Profusion of words. Prahlad Maharaj is amazed. Just like Ramananda Roy is such a great personality, but he was so amazed constantly that, how am I speaking? He was the most learned person, no doubt. But then when Mahaprabhu kept asking him to go higher, higher, he said, that's external, please give me more. Just keep going, Age Koha. He said, I don't know how I'm speaking this. I never even dreamed of this. So he was infused with these words. So sometimes one gets infused with the words. So Shukadeva Goswami, occasionally he would congratulate Varyane Shite Prashna Krito Lokyatam when in the beginning of the second canto. Your question is so glorious that it Krito Lokyatam, it's good for the whole universe, everyone in the universe, every part of the universe. Varyane Shite Prashna. Prashna means questions. This is the greatest thing. So when the acharya, when the guru, the sadhus, the saints, they become more enlivened, just like you can imagine, we're reading this conversation is going on between Vidura and Maitreya Muni. Maitreya Muni was so enlivened that, because Vidura was so advanced himself, so the questions are amazing. And even he's giving amazing proposals, Vidura, when you read it, you know, Janashya Krishna, Vimukashyadaiva, Dharmashilasya Sudukitasya. So his Vidura's shlokas are practically more famous even than Maitreya's in some cases, many cases. A wonderful conversation. A profusion of such selected words comes from a devotee who is fully absorbed in affection and love. Prema. And here the word is used, anuraga. But just anuraga, great affection. There are many instances in which even a small boy who is a great devotee, who can read, Dhruva Maharaj also has wonderful prayers in the fourth canon. Was it? Which chapter? Ninth? You can read his whole pastime. Swamin katatos mi varam lajache. He was after some material thing, but when he actually got darshan of the Lord Vishnu, then Swamin, he addressed him as Swamin. Swamin katatos mi varam lajache. I don't want any varam, any boom. Varam deva mokshana mokshavadam. So devotees are, pure devotees always pray like that. They don't want, so Prahlad Maharaj is praying like that also. No particular boon, no, well, any boon. Even Mahaprabhu is praying, Namakari Bahada Nijasarva Shakti Tatapita Nimatak Smarana Kala Etadashita Vakriba Bhagavama Dirdaiva Madisha Mahajani Nanuraga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing the example. We should be so lamenting that we don't have this raga, this attraction, this affection for Krishna, for the Bhagavatam. So he's praying. There's so many names, just like this Uttama Shloka, but he's saying like that in his Shikshashtaka. Nanuraga, I don't have any of this affection. How Narottam Das is praying also, what is he saying? To Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Gauranga Bolite Habe, Pulaka. I want that my hair shall stand on end. Actually, your hairs don't stand on end usually, but we understand this is what Mahaprabhu is also praying. But he's experiencing so high, so elevated symptoms. Sometimes Prabhupada would exhibit these symptoms. He would repress it. Actually, it's described that in the stage of anuraga, it's possible, even in the early stage. But when it becomes bhava, it becomes more difficult to restrain. These devotees are so advanced. Just like in Henry Street, when Prabhupada first started giving the melody, he said, you can hear it on the, he says, do you know this tune, Jai Radha Madhava, which we were already chanting? This is in 1971 or so, or was it two? Anyway, he said, do you know this tune? We all knew. We said, yeah. But then Prabhupada started chanting it, Jai Radha Madhava, in such a way, and he became very ecstatic. Some very rare, his tears were coming out of his eyes and was changing color like that, but 99% of the time. Also, I was in Mayapur when Prabhupada choked up one time and he couldn't speak, but devotees are, they don't generally express this. They kind of, well, Prabhupada kept that, but he's very advanced. And you can hear that if you listen to Prabhupada's bhajan. I remember when you're new, you hear the bhajan, but you don't know what the words are. You might, but in those days, we didn't have the word meanings, 1970, like that. Nowadays, we have all the word meanings explained out, so it becomes more easy. Everything is there. Given is, so we should relish it here, Prabhupada. Udilo Arna. There's one tape where Prabhupada is singing Udilo Arna, 12, 13 minutes. And there's another one where he's chanting for 24 minutes, just Udilo Arna, like that. And they make both of those. So if you just hear that, you can hear that over and over. Actually, when we first heard some of these tapes, I remember we were in the art department, and Parikshit, and he had a feeling to hear it also in me, and we would stop painting. Parikshit was a fanatical painter. He used to paint even when it was, anyway, day and night he would paint. But we'd have to stop hearing Prabhupada's bhajan. It was so ecstatic, we'd stop and we'd just put our ears against the speaker sometimes. Because Prabhupada's voice is so expressive, vachasa. And it's not just words, but there's so much feeling in it. So that's why you get the association of such a mahatsevam varvam hor muktes. Great mahatsevam. Do the service for the mahat. So we can see so many advanced persons now, more advanced than most of the old devotees, original Prabhupada disciples, and very absorbed. So it's not that there's any break. If you're hearing it, just by hearing it, The potency is there by hearing Prabhupada. So no one is barred. No one is barred. From, shouldn't think, oh, I was not there. No. Everyone can hear Prabhupada now. Everybody may hear other bhajans, but Prabhupada actually said they should play my bhajans. Sometimes you play Prabhupada's bhajans, like I was going on a tour of South India. I had a tape recorder. It wasn't very good, but I'd play it like in Tirupati and all these big holy places, Srirangam. And the people would, because they're so pious, the people, they stop, actually, they stop. I'd be playing Prabhupada singing, you know. So attractive, anuraga. One immediately gets affection just by hearing it from these great persons. There are many instances which a small boy who was a great devotee of the Lord, he could offer excellent prayers in the choicest words for glorification of the pastimes of the Lord. In other words, without the development of fine affection and love, one cannot offer prayer to the Lord very suitably. So we're so fortunate, there's so many prayers you can offer. Even when the first day I joined, and we were encouraged to learn Kunti's prayers, Bhishma's prayer, we only had the first canon basically with those prayers. We hadn't even gotten up to, gradually we got second canto, and then we could get Shukadeva Goswami's prayers, Namo Parasmai Purusha, and Prabhupada actually sings those on one recording. And it's amazing how he sings them. So it's good to be absorbed. Okay, no one's going to be writing or composing or singing like Prabhupada, like Shukadeva, or Bhishma Dev or something. Kunti's prayers. Namo Parasmai, Namaste Purusham Tvajam Ishwaram Prakate Param. We don't have to. We can just hear it and recite it. And then this affection comes. Okay. We'll do this first. Proktam Kelaita Bhagavat Bhagavatamena Nivitti Dharma Bidataya Kena Sanat Kumaraya Sa Chaprishta Sankhyaya Nananga Dutta Gataya. Lord Sankarsham thus spoke the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam to the great sage Sanat Kumar, had already taken the vow of renunciation. Sanat Kumar, also in his turn, inquired by Sankhyaya Muni, explained Srimad Bhagavatam as he had heard it from Sankarsham. So Sankarsham, there's a lot about Sankarsham in later in the sixth canto, Chitraketu, right? Chitraketu, he surrendered. And he got a realization, Darshan, audience of Sankarsham. Sankarsham is the name of Balaram. So whenever we read Sankarsham, we can understand there's Balaram is somewhere in there, isn't it? Huh? Sankarsham? What did he say? Sixth canon, Chitraketu? Is it Sankarsham that he worships? You don't remember? So anyway, he offered so many prayers and he got so many instructions from Sankarsham. Sankarsham Akarana Toyashe Garbodashe Shapayobhishayi. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita is described as Sankarsana. And all the expansions of Vishnu in the ocean of milk, the Karna, Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, they're all Tamsi Nityananda Raman Prabhaji. They're all expansions of Nityananda, or Nityananda, manifestation. So, why is that there? Well, when we read some of those pastimes of Nitya, Nityananda, we think, wow, he's an avadut. He does all these wild things. And sometimes he's going totally naked, or he's swimming out with the crocodiles and joking around. Or, my mother Sachi gave him some sweets. He just threw them away. And she said, what did you do? Those are the last sweets. Why'd you do that? He goes, what do you mean? I just felt like it. Go in there. The sweets are in there. So she went back in the kitchen. Wow. They were there all. They had even dirt on them, from the dirt. And she was like, So, as this manifestation of Lord Balaram, he's performing these pastimes. But one should, you know, first we get a grounding and understanding how great Nitya is. And same thing in the Chaitanya Bhagavata. Anyway, this is the way of the Parampara system. Although Sanat Kumar, the well-known great saintly Kumar, was in the perfect stage of life, still, he heard the message of Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Sankarsan. Similarly, when he was questioned by Sankhya Rishi, he spoke to him the same message he had heard from Lord Sankarsan. In other words, unless one hears, now, don't ask me where that conversation is. I don't think it's in Bhagavatam. It might be in another Purana. In other words, unless one hears from the proper authority, one cannot become a preacher. In devotional service, therefore, two items out of the nine, namely hearing and chanting, are most important. Without hearing nicely, shute shitapato nananatapunta, Rukmini is speaking. She has eight verses, her letter or note, message to, wow, Rukmini has pretty heavy duty. She could compose those verses. But so in those verses, she gave to the Brahman he delivered to Krishna, that you please kidnap me. Tomorrow, you better get it happen because, it'll be too late. So in the famous verse, this purvarag, this type of attachment, I've heard of your glorious Bhagavana. So even without seeing Krishna, she heard Akilata Labam, and by hearing it, Haratonga Tampam, all miseries are removed. So hearing. Shinvatam, what is it? Prakata Krishna. Punya Shavana Kirtana. Vidyam Tosto Yabadrani Vidunoti means purified. Vidunoti. Satam. The heart becomes purified by hearing Srimadam Sakatapi Punya Shravana Kirtana. So the first thing is to hear Ado Shraddha, and then one hears. That's why we're chanting in the street. Probably one of the people chanting in the street. Go out. One point Prabhupada said, close the temple, you can leave one pujari there. Everyone should go out. This is chanting. It's before the books all started being distributed, but he said you should go out and chant. It's a nice pastime that Prabhupada instructed in Boston, and then in New York we did it every day. He didn't want people just doing press work and sitting around, to go out before we even started. And 1 hour minimum, go out. Sometimes we'd walk from the Brooklyn Temple, go downtown. Pretty heavy mode downtown Brooklyn, especially in those days. And now, too, hasn't changed that much. It might have been rearranged a little bit. Sometimes we take the subway and go to Wall Street, and we take the DDs out as well. Are you there still in Manhattan? Yeah. Early, but the press had to do it, mandatory. Probably didn't want people just sitting around doing the press work. No. Go out there and say, oh, you all fall down if you don't do it. So it's important. Go out and chanting, not just hearing, but then spreading the word. Even if you know one thing, like Prabhupada said, Saraswati was a three-year-old kid. Said, so she's only 3 years old, but she knows Krishna. So she would ask these elderly Indian gentlemen, do you know who Krishna is? Do you know who Krishna is? Be a personality of God. Like that. She didn't have a lot of details, but two items are out of nine. Shavanam Kirtana Vishnu, Smaranam Paras. Triabhinati, Sarangaya Kim. One of the last prayers of Prahlad. These six items mentioned, or nine items. But he mentioned six items, which is, he boiled it down for us. But hearing and chanting is very important. Without doing them, he says, he also gave us the nine Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam, all those nine items. But at the end of his prayers, he listed six of them and said, worshipping the deity, that hearing and chanting. Without that, who could make advancement? Can't make advancement. Impossible. Especially you can't preach. So, okay, here we are on verse 8. Sankhyayana. Sankhyayana paramahamsa mukyo vivakshamano bhagava bhuti jugada sosman duravendetaya parasarayata Brihaspati's children. Now we're getting to really more great personalities here. The great sage Sankhyayana was the chief among the transcendentalists, and when he was describing the glories of the Lord in terms of Srimad Bhagavatam, it so happened that my spiritual master Parashara and Brihaspati both heard him. Wow. So, we can't give backstories about Brihaspati, but they're there. And Parashara, the father of Vyasadeva. Okay, this one has a prayer for it. We better do it. Pravacha mahyam sadayalukto muni palastyena purananadyam soham tavaita katayam evasya shadhalave nityam anuvratayo. The great sage Parashara, as aforementioned, being so advised by the great sage Palastya, spoke unto me the foremost of the Puranas, Bhagavatam. I shall also describe this before you, my dear son, in terms of my hearing, because you are always my faithful follower. So this word vatsa comes up, like vatsalya ras, means Krishna is like your son. So it means very affectionate. Sometimes we hear these words like Anga. Sukadeva might address Prigat Maharaj as his Anga means his own limb. So there's so much affection there that you feel practically the person is, and you are almost united, one. So much. So this is the compassion. Okay, purport. The great sage of the name Palastya is the father of the demoniac descendants. Once upon a time, Parashara began a sacrifice in which all the demons were to be burnt to death because his father had been killed and devoured by one of them. The great sage, Vasishtha Muni, arrived at the sacrifice and requested Parashara to stop the deadly... Is that Vasishtha Muni who arrived and stopped the snake sacrifice as well? Was that... Which Muni was that? At the end of the Bhagavatam, they all, Takshava, Takshika, and all the snakes were being killed. Yeah, but it was stopped by one sage. And I was thinking it was Vasishtha, but I forgot.
Ashtika.
Huh?
Ashtika.
Maybe. Go look it up.
Yeah, I
know. It is? Okay. So, this is similar. Of course, snakes, people think, so what if all the snakes get burnt to death? No big thing, you know. But here, it seems like all the demons were going to be killed. Well, that's not so bad, is it? You need a new phone, have a stereo, and have one in that part of the temple. And they go off, it'll sound better. So Vasishtha Muni arrived, and it says, because of Vasishtha's position and respect in the community of sages, Parashara could not deny the request. Parashara, having stopped the sacrifice, Palastya, the father of the demons, appreciated his Brahminical temperament and gave the blessing that in the future he would be a great speaker on the Vedic literature called the Puranas, the supplements of the Vedas. Parashara's action was appreciated, but Palastya, because Parashara had forgiven the demons out of his Brahminical power of forgiveness. Parashara was able to demolish all the demons in the sacrifice, but he considered, demons are so made that they devour living creatures, men and animals. Why on that account should I withdraw my Brahminical qualification of forgiveness? As a great... So the devotees are very forgiving. Kshama Rupa Tapasvinam. Devotees are known as Tapasvis, and their beauty, Chanakya Pandit, one of the verses, he says, Kshama, this forgiveness is the beauty of the devotee. Very forgiving. Just see Prahlad Maharaj, his father tried to kill him in so many ways, but he was telling Nrisimhadeva, just please. And Nrisimhadeva said, no problem, 21 generations previous of your forefathers, of Hiranyakashipu's forefathers, they're all liberated. So they devour. Prahlad Maharaj is also born in the family of demons. Okay, so why should we give up our brahminical qualification of forgiveness? As the great speaker of the Puranas, Parashara first of all spoke on the Srimad Bhagavat Purana because it is the foremost of all the Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Alam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. At the end of the Bhagavatam is described how the devotees, they love the Bhagavatam. I mean, there's other devotees and other sampradayas, they read other Puranas, but there. And this, especially in the Skanda Purana and the Padma Purana, there's long, many verses just glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. We shouldn't think that we're the only ones that describe there. Maitreya Muni desired to narrate the same Bhagavatam he had heard from Parashara, and Vidura was qualified to hear it because of his faithfulness and is following the instructions received from superiors. So Srimad Bhagavatam was being narrated from time immemorial by the disciplic succession, even before the time of Vyasadeva. The so-called historians calculate the Puranas to be only a few hundred years old, but factually the Puranas existed from time immemorial. Purana means old, means ancient, Puranic. Before they were written down, they were spoken. Even to this day, in some parts of India, people memorize not just Puranas, but even mundane histories of kings. In Rajasthan, they have people that can memorize all long tracts of the different Rajasthani kings. They can go on for hours. You know, it's not even transcendental. So what to speak of transcendental literature? There are still people who can recite so much Srimad Bhagavatam. We're not so much interested. There are many Puranas that are also wonderful, but like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Nana Shastra Vrachara Naika Nipano Siddhana Samstakava. Nana Shastra means so many Shastras were studied by the six Goswamis. And Gopal Bhatta was one of them. So Gopal Bhatta was so intelligent. And he was a little boy, he was seven. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in his house for 4 months of the rainy season in Sri Ranga. And he developed such affection for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, told him that, you know, when your parents are older and they leave their body, then you should go to Vrindavan. So when he went to Vrindavan, he didn't have a huge library, but he had memorized, described there at the Radharaman temple, the Goswamis there, they say that Gopal Bhatta had memorized 300 shastras, not verses, they say. 300 shastras that he could knew. Even the great Jiva Goswami was hearing from him the different shastras. So 300 shastras, and there's only 18 Puranas. Maybe he knew all of them. We don't even know how intelligent he could be. So it's not that way out to think that Parashara knew all the Puranas. And he didn't carry around. He didn't have a little gizmo to look at. They would know it, that's all. So you ask Jiva Goswami, what about that? Yeah. Yes, boom. Way, way beyond anything we could even imagine. Had that Rain Man. The Rain Man, I forgot what his real name was. Not the movie. But there was a guy like that, and I saw videos of him, and he had memorized 12,000 books from the library. Just mundane books. And there was something wrong with his brain where he could read with both eyes simultaneously. And he would scan a page just like you scan it with your phone or something. And he would, looking at the page, and he'd turn the page and he could memorize the whole page. So it was just a mundane guy like that. Kim Peek, his name was. So why would we think that our great esteemed Goswamis and ancient sages couldn't, if this Kim Peek could memorize 12,000 books of mundane knowledge. Where's the taste in that? He did it. And unfortunately, he didn't memorize shastras. But we have our acharyas. They've done it for us. Nana shastra vichara. He studied vichara naika nipano. And nipano, very expert. Even when the sages were praising Sutta Goswami, they said, you know all the shastras, except some mundane parts. That's okay, we don't mind. There's some parts, you know, we don't care about that anyway. But he knew. Sutta Goswami knew it. All right, so it's being narrated. Aham eva asam eva agre. Originally, there were only four shlokas. And
Brahmaji explained it to Narad Muni and told him, or when Brahmaji heard it from Krishna, he told him to expand it. I'm giving it to you. Sarahasam tarangam cha kahana kaditamai. It's very confidential, but you can expand it, expand it, expand it. So we have expansion. When we read the commentaries, it's so important, of our six Goswamis and then Baladeva Vidyapa, so many great acharyas have expanded it. Prabhupada has written his purports, ecstatic purport, other people are writing. And so it's going on. We have our original four verses, but from those four verses, nutshell verses, it's expanding. So Prabhupada kind of jokingly says that the so-called historian calculate the Puran to be only a few hundred years old. So Prabhupada obviously doesn't subscribe to that, very sarcastically. Okay, is there any questions, commentaries?
At the end of the purport?
Did I finish it?
Not quite.
The last sentence?
Oh, you didn't.
I said, but factually the Puranas existed from time immemorial before historical calculations by the mundaners and secular philosophers.
Oh.
Okay, I was missing five words. Commentaries from the... Where's the... Give it to him, he's whispering.
History of the Puranas given Krishna Samhita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, according to their...
Krishna
custom.
Samhita, yeah. There's right. Different versions of Krishna Samhita, even by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I know he's also, just to try to induce those people to read Bhagavatam, he wrote something like that. Yeah, but that was, he says that in the beginning, right? And at the end, he said, that's for people who want to believe it. Right? You're the one who printed the book. Anything else?
Thank you for a very inspiring class. So I was amazed how you remembered this Kimpik guy's name even.
It is, what? Say it again.
I'm amazed that you even remembered this Kimpik guy's name, the one who memorized 12,000 books.
Oh, Kimpik?
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, the guy and the name of a devotee who stopped that Sarpa Yagya is Brihaspati.
Brihaspati?
Brihaspati. And he came
to stop the snake yagya?
Yeah, and says in chapter 6 of a second, 12.6 it says, a son of Angira Rishi stopped. He came and advised Maharaj Janmejaya that Takshaka could not be killed because he had drunk the nectar of the demigods. Furthermore, Brihaspati said that all living entities must enjoy the fruits of their past activities. Therefore, the king should give up this sacrifice. And Janmejaya was thus convinced.
Anyone else? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.